shine, little Rover, glimmer, glimmer.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You're tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, and it's Lance in the house again tonight. Yeah. Good evening.
Good evening out there.
Great that you're here tonight and really excited about tonight's show. Two ladies from the Learning Council, Pat Fraser from Peace and Plenty Farm. Good evening, Pat.
Thanks. Good evening.
Great to have you here. And Alicia Michelson, Black Canyon Apothecary Garden.
Hi.
Hi. Great to have you both here. I mentioned the Learning Council. You're both representing the Learning Council on the board and very much participatory in what's going on there. And we're going to talk tonight about an herb school that you've got planned. All right, I'm going to give the phone numbers, 970-527-4868, 866-KVNF-NOW, and you can email us, worm@kvnf.org. Okay, let's see. Lots to talk about. We're going to get started with the herb school, which is kind of going along the same track as your seed school last year, right, Lance?
Yes.
It's a nine-month course, and Pat, Alicia, you want to open the door on that and talk about that?
Sure. Herb school came about because seed school was so successful.
It was a good year, yeah.
And we, at the Learning Council, obviously were very heavily engaged in alternative education and with a large emphasis on agriculture here in the Valley. We have a plethora of good instructors to draw from, so we got our heads together after seed school and said, how about let's try a different way and let's try a different topic. So birthed the Herb School. Herb School will run the same kind of way that seed school ran, which is a once-a-month class for about 9 months, starting in March. It'll be the first Wednesday of the month. The school will rotate between venues. It will run every day, roughly 10:30 to 3:30 in the afternoon. There may be some longer classes, depending on whether we travel to other venues. And there are two primary instructors, but we have just a wealth of other instructors that are going to join us. So we're super excited. We already are accepting registrations. You can register through the Learning Council, which is www.thelearningcouncil.org. I think I'm going to turn it over to Alicia to get more specific about what we're engaging with.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks. It's such a joy to be on the radio with you all. Thanks so much for inviting us.
Here.
Yeah. And the Herb School is really inspiring to me. This 9 months is sort of a time to really gestate participants into taking care of their health, taking care of their family and community health, and learning really practical ways of using the herbs that grow around us, herbs that grow wild or spontaneous herbs, and also cultivated herbs. And so we have some great, we're going to start off with Daphne Anacakis, who will help us to learn about dividing and propagating perennials. And from there, we'll continue talking about different ways of growing herbs and also what is really available in the month that we're studying. So each month we'll have a different focus of study and different ideas for how to use the bounty that's around us.
Exciting. It's a really a diverse list of classes. We were talking about that earlier. Just a lot of different things going on from the propagating the perennials to the wild food feast that you're going to have. To herbs for animals. So all kinds of people can participate and learn all kinds of things. I like it.
Is there any one book? Are you using several books or just the knowledge of people?
All of the above.
All of the above.
So we will have a textbook that will be about growing medicinal herbs that all of the students will receive. And then we also, I use so many herb books in researching and in my day-to-day life that I will be happy to present sort of a list of really great handy books to have. And then also it will be person-to-person learning will be the main thing. And we're really excited about having a lot of the group shares, because we just know that everybody has relationship with herbs and plants and nature. So we're enthusiastic about bringing out, you know, what did your grandmother use for your colds and coughs or things like that, so that we can learn from the wisdom of each other as well as the wisdom of nature.
Right. And you mentioned just everybody joining in that community of herbalists that are out there. And this is a good way to do that. Just a lot of learning about plants and different ways to use plants.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Pat, you're a biodynamic farmer in the Valley. And Alicia, have you always been into herbs?
I have, yeah. Mm-hmm. Pretty much my whole life. My mom wasn't big into the medical establishment, so we always used herbal remedies. As I was growing up, we would have like hot toddies and things like that. So
keep you healthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then having children myself at a young age, I wanted to be aware of ways that I could support their health.
Nice. So medicinal is one of the ways that we
use. Very much so. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And most of my experience with herbs came from a very solid need to understand how to use herbal medicine with children, because allopathic medicine with children can really cause some difficulties in their growth and development. So being a pediatric nurse practitioner for 30 years, I devolved or evolved,
right,
however you want to put it, into using herbal medicine. And so went to herb school in Boulder and then practiced actively as a clinical herbalist for 5 years while I was in Boulder and before I moved out here. I think it's extremely important for people to understand that there are many, many ways to heal ourselves.
Right.
And I love the idea of Herb School, because part of what we'll introduce people to is understanding plants at a level that is different than holding them, picking them, or being the observer of a plant. There's a way to communicate with plants that transcends that. And most herbalists that I know are really quite good at imparting that information. And so I was really excited to see who's registered with us, because actually we have a lot of good teachers that are registered for the class.
Oh, nice.
So it's going to be a really interactive way for us to engage with one another and learn from one another. And, you know, there really is no right or wrong way with herbs. That's what's really interesting, because that's why it's a little difficult to pick one book. Because, you know, one book might say, I use this herb for this condition, or I use this herb all the time just to keep myself from getting sick. So there's just a ton of variation of knowledge. But one of the things that I think is fairly unique about our herb school is that we both are really good cultivators of herbs.
Mm-hmm.
If you can grow them, that really helps your understanding of them.
Sure, sure. I've learned that from Lance, understanding
right.
the plants.
Mm-hmm. So that's a strength in terms of what we'll be able to add to the class all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have some segments in the class where the students will be working actively in cultivating herbs, certainly in the spring. And later on in the summer or late summer, we'll have some aspects of the class that will look at harvesting those same herbs that we planted in spring.
Oh, great.
And making medicine out of them and so forth.
Yeah. Are you going to go to the research station?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I talked to the research station the other day, and we're going to use some beds there to cultivate for sure calendula and perhaps others that are annual herbs that we can plant and watch throughout the summer.
Awesome. This is exciting. And it's, I love it, because that's the way the seed program worked.
Yep.
You did the same thing. You mm-hmm. planted and then harvested and dried. And
yeah. Then we had a seed party.
Right. Okay, good. It's Joy from Hotchkiss on the line, and she has a pet question. Hi, Joy.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. I was just out with my pup. She's coming up on about 15 years old now, and she's beginning to lose access to her hind legs. Her hind legs are going out from under her, and the vet just wants to give me drugs, and I would really rather if there were any kind of herbs or anything that you might suggest. Any hope?
Ooh, that's an interesting one. Yeah. Well, you know what happens with dogs, cats, even larger animals, is as they age, the myelin sheath that takes care of transmitting neurologic information in their body, it's very similar to the way ours functions. And in aging, that starts to deteriorate. So one of the very best things that you can do is give your pet essential fatty acids through their diet.
Okay.
It's really, really helpful. In fact, there are some, if you're not into a raw diet for your animal, you can actually purchase prepared foods, bagged dog and cat foods that have a high level of essential fatty acids in them. The good thing about essential fatty acids is it also really helps their brain function. So as animals age, they're a little bit dulled in their brain function. Sometimes they have less eyesight, hearing, and they mostly function around touch and smell. Mm-hmm. So if you can...
Specific EFAs or...
Yeah, you can use flax oil. That's fine. You can use fish oil, whatever they like, and you can put it directly on their food every day.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's really helpful.
Sure.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sure,
I will.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Okay. Thanks so much.
Thanks for the call, Joy.
I really appreciate it. Thanks for everything.
All right. Thanks. Good. All right. Thank you, Pat. Sure. That's great. I'm going to give the phone numbers again, 970-527-4868, 866-KVNF now. Email is worm@kvnf.org. So there's an example of how it works for all of us, not just the human being, but all of us beings. And I guess that would be one of our classes as part of the Herb School is Herbs for Animals and Herbal Pastures. Herbal Pastures. So is that the grass that you're growing?
So that's the grasses that we're growing. Mm-hmm. Also, the herbs that may grow spontaneously or seeded into the pastures, things like red clover, plantain, other kinds of clover, alfalfa, all of these things have benefits for humans as well as animals. And we'll be discussing all of those things as well as ideal mixes that work well, things like oats that we can use as humans as well as for animals. There's so many ways that we can help our animals by enhancing our pastures and adding more nutrient into their diet and diversity in their diet.
Diversity, that's what I was thinking. Instead of just straight grass or straight alfalfa, you get diversity, all these other things with different root systems, different zones in the ground, and picking up different nutrients.
Right. Yep. And per the last caller's question about neurologic health, oat is a really good, helpful, nourishing herb, not only for humans, but also for canines. And so just having a dog exposed to oat. In fact, sometimes my canine, who's aging, will go and select oat and eat it.
Oh, interesting.
It's grass, the grass, right?
Mm-hmm, the grass. Yeah.
Right. Knowing what he
needs. Knowing, mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's another thing that we'll probably bring out in the class also is that animals do seek out the nutrients that they need in pastures, and so it's a really good observational tool for pastures to see what different species go for different types of plants.
Yeah, I've learned a lot from watching animals or hearing about friends' animals who, they're really eating a lot of mullein right now. And so then I'll go out and harvest some mullein and say, that does taste different now than it does at the end of the season at a time that maybe I wouldn't have harvested it in the past. And then now I know, I'll harvest it earlier in the season as well as later, thanks to the goats. Thanks, Emily.
Interesting. And I bet there's all kinds of plants and herbs out there just around us right now that we don't even realize we can use or what they are.
Right. Yeah, and so that's so fun to make that alliance with the plants to where even if it's just small handful of plants that you know and are connected with, it's just so amazing how you can use those mm-hmm. in a real variety of mm-hmm. ways to boost your health and also your joy and quality of life through that alliance.
Nice. And I think the other thing is to figure out, and you'll probably learn in the school, is how to grow some of these yourself, how to become so that you can sustain that yourself.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Right. And there's a kind of a well-worn knowledge around how we use herbs in part as food. And those are the mildly stimulating herbs. And then how we use herbs, more stimulating herbs for certain medicinal uses, particularly with children. Mildly stimulating herbs are really good for kids. And the different classes of herbs, how they act in the body, whether they work on the neurologic system in primary or whether they work, you know, in part on our digestive system or as a tonifying herb for our whole system. Sometimes herbs work on our endocrine system. So it's different with herbal medicine. It's not like taking an antibiotic and it works one way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Herbs have a lot of different constituents in them that affect our bodies in a holistic way. Mm-hmm. And so there's a whole rhythm around taking herbs as well. So in the spring, we'll be covering certain herbs that come out in the spring and they're available to us in the spring. And they're actually speaking to us in the spring as to, well, how about try this dandelion green that's coming up out of the ground, because maybe your liver is a little sluggish because you've been inside all winter and eating something different than you will in the spring. So there's a whole rhythm. There's a whole knowledge about herbs that you can use all the time to keep yourself healthy.
Right.
And cover all that.
You know, I'm curious, take the same herb and you harvest it at different times for different uses?
Exactly.
Dandelion's
a great example for that.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So in the spring, it's coming up, you're going to eat
that.
Great green. Detox properties. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it changes up a little bit as it's...
Mm-hmm. Sure, and then you can use the flowers for skin benefits and also so many other reasons. And then the roots, of course, are a huge medicinal ally. So we really enjoy all to learn about the plants in all of their phases of life.
Mm-hmm. Right, and the different parts. And I like it. It's like you said, it's just kind of getting in tune with everything and going with the rhythm of the earth and what Mother Nature gives us a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, they change. They change with the rhythm of the earth. The roots change, and the reason we harvest roots in the fall is because they concentrate their energy in the fall so they can preserve themselves all through the winter. And that happens after it freezes. So there's a whole change, actually, a constituent change that occurs in herbs from the spring all the way through the time that they go dormant, particularly in perennial herbs. So.
Mm-hmm. Right. Interesting. And part of the herb school classes, as you get towards the fall, it's going to be roots and berries and then winter roots and preparing for winter. Mm-hmm. So just following the seasons. And I like how you described it, Alicia, as the gestation of it, the 9-month seed or herb school.
Yeah, and I also want to really clarify that even though we've talked a lot about propagation and tending plants, I was an herbalist for many years as sort of a gypsy where I didn't have a garden to use or to cultivate, not use. And there's still so much resource, whether you have a garden or not. The Green Nations are so bountiful that if you have a garden or not, people are always going to be happy for you to come and dig their dandelions. Mm-hmm. People are always going to – there's always places in nature we can go and find incredible wealth and resource. And so, I want to encourage
– very large comfrey plants.
I know. Never enough comfrey. It's so good.
Yeah.
and so many uses. And like we were saying, it's not just humans and animals. We can really use the plants to nourish the earth and nourish other plants. And so that's a really fun aspect of what we'll be learning and looking at as well.
Okay, 527-4868, 866 KVNF now. We mentioned biodynamic a little bit ago, and Pat, do you want to talk a little bit about what that actually
is? Sure. So biodynamics is a method of agriculture that was born through the work of Rudolf Steiner, and he gave eight lectures in 1924, in June of 1924. We're coming up on the 100th anniversary of biodynamics. And it has evolved somewhat. I'd love to see it covering the whole earth, but so there's some principles involved in biodynamics. One is that we look at the farm directly as a whole organism, and we see the farm functioning in that holistic way, as a being.
Right.
And then we also look at the way that we farm as it is connected to the cosmos. So not just the forces that are here on Earth that allow plants to grow and thrive, but also things that are coming in from the outside, energetic influences that are coming from the lunar sphere, from the solar sphere, from our planetary brothers and sisters, from the zodiac, et cetera, all the way out to the Milky Way. So we take those rhythms into account in our farming practices, and it really definitely enhances the life of the plants to do that. And then thirdly, we draw most of our fertility from within our farm, if possible, always. And we make our fertility using particular plants and particular manures from cow and from some minerals that we, quartz silica, we use that to make a preparation. And so it's a whole entwined system within the wisdom of the earth that allows us to receive a wise fertility that we can use. And it's very low input agriculture. Mm-hmm. It's very cheap. It's not at all impactful to manufacturing and our overuse of petroleum. So I've been using it for 35 years now, and I'm firmly entrenched in its use. And some of the benefits are that when you're farming that way or gardening, it's appropriate for small scale, large scale, it doesn't matter. When you're farming that way, you're able really to lower your inputs on wherever it is that you're farming or gardening to almost zero coming from the outside of the farm. So that to me is the really big advantage to farming this way, because I know what's going on to my farm.
Right.
Because it came from my farm.
You close that
circle. I close the loops. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right.
And that feels really good to me. It really feels good to me to be able to give that food and medicine to my kids, my family, and my neighbors, et cetera.
Sure.
Yeah.
I like that aspect of it.
It is regenerative also.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's life-giving.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. We'll be talking a lot about that as a method of growing herbs, and there'll be a couple of times throughout the class that we'll actually focus on that.
Okay, great. And you use those methods as well, is that?
Yes, I use biodynamic and trinium methods.
And trinium, mm-hmm. Bringing them into the modern age.
That's right. The trinium brings the biodynamics into the 21st century, and our teacher Enzo Nastati, who comes here to Paonia, has taught us some ways to make the biodynamics more simple and accessible for modern life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And I like what you said, Pat. You can do it on a small scale or a large scale.
Definitely.
It's one of those things like we encourage people mm-hmm. all the time is when you're gardening, it's something to try.
Just try it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think everybody.
10 square feet, 100 mm-hmm. square feet, mm-hmm. 40 acres.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Right. And I think same with herbal remedies that would just give them a try, you mm-hmm. know, just have fun with it. It's safe, effective.
Natural.
Natural and fun, mm-hmm. yeah.
You know, one of the things you're going to be doing on June 3rd is the Wild Foods Feast with Katrina Blair, and you're going to be out at the Trading Post. And that sounds exciting. We were just talking before the show about that location being next to the river and the road and all the different things that you're going to –
different zones on that farm yeah. that we can find wild and spontaneous plants in the garden that we could harvest for the feast. We can go down by the river there and find the spontaneous plants there as well as by the roadside. You know, obviously not too close to the roadside, but
yeah, I think if I'm attending this, I'm going to be really surprised at what that feast is going to include.
Oh,
I mean,
it's so just, delicious! Uh-huh. You're yeah. going to be happy.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, great, Pat Frazier and Alicia Michelson from the Learning Council, and you want to go to thelearningcouncil.org to check out the Herb School and get registered. You've got mm-hmm. quite a few people already signed up.
Yeah, and quite a few great sponsors as well. I really want to acknowledge Voga, great. Who's our partner in this project, and Slow Food Western Slope, as well as some other great sponsors.
Okay, thank you for that. And want to let people know that you're going to have a locally sourced lunch, hands-on activities, lectures, direct experiences with the plants, all kinds of great people that are participating mm-hmm. too.
Yeah, so. And definitely with Seed School, I think lunch was one of the great highlights each week, and so we're really looking forward to that again for this. It's a real treat to have the bounty of our valley and be able to enjoy that yeah. each class.
It's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Lance, you've got the seed class coming up with Laura Parker on March 8th.
March 8th, Memorial Hall. Was it used 10 o'clock or so?
10 or 10:30 to 4 or so, and we've got Mountain Oven catering the lunch, and it's going to be a really fun day. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Another thing the Learning Council
another
is doing.
Thing. That, and that, another collaboration with Voga.
Yeah, yeah.
And also that evening we'll have a seed swap and a panel discussion on seeds, as well as a potluck dinner. Oh. So it's going to be a fun
That's a Sunday.
Day. Right? It is a Sunday. So. Yeah.
Okay, that's something fun to do. So, all right, ladies, thank you so much. And thank you,
You're
the Learning
welcome.
Council, for bringing us so many educational things. And we'll be back next week for another edition of As the Worm Turns.
Yes, I'll be here.
Okay.
Great.
Good
thank
night.
You all.
Thanks,
thank you.
Everyone. Thanks a lot.
Cool.